However, at this point, I don't do this often, but I want to cover and do a topical study this morning that involves something that's on many, many of our minds these days, and that's the subject of healing. So we're going to be covering a lot. So I will be reading some of my notes on purpose. So if it appears that way, I want to do that so that when you go back and grab the recording, which I probably will need to do, it'll all kind of be coherent, and you can really chew on it. I didn't give you notes this morning. I think it's just good to listen. I have a couple slides, and you know how that goes. Technology, and Steve's going to help me, though. Keep it going. This is not meant to be the final word on healing. What I really felt would be helpful is to give us, I'm going to give you some pictures, and literally some pictures and some graphs and things to give you a visual framework of which to work through the areas of divine healing, maybe the healing of the sick. Many of you are here with a heavy heart this morning. It's been a long week for the Myers family, for Joe and Cindy. She continues to be at Hershey Medical Center in the ICU. Reports are not positive by any nature from the doctors. We continue to pray. And God is faithful. God is God alone through the good and the bad. He's faithful. And we'll cover that this morning. This is really to stimulate your and my further study in the scriptures. So I will literally be flying through some of this material, which is extremely deep and very complex, and people spend their lives on just one of these points. I'm going to give you five of them, working it out. So I'm going to be giving a lot of scripture references. They're not meant for you to try and catch them all and write them down. They're going to be recorded. They'll be on the website probably this week sometime, some point, okay? So if you need to digest this. But I felt it would be helpful as a pastor, as I interact and kind of traffic through the weeks here, I think it would be just very helpful if we kind of came together, looked at all of the broad views and beliefs in divine healing, and in terms of where I am going to kind of maneuver at this point in my understanding of it, and I invite you to study and as well. Some of you will hold, will go through five various stages or five various beliefs. Some of you will latch on to one, or you've kind of have an affinity to one. I encourage you not to get angry when I talk about the other ones, but this is all about fair and balanced, and we'll be talking about from one end of the gamut to the other. If I say something that may seem not derogatory, but a little challenging or just a little concerning to me about a certain area, don't be offended at that. I just want to say it for the benefit of everyone as we work through this. There's a lot of views on healing for a reason. And anyway, I just want to work a thread through the congregation. Got it? Can you track with me for about 90 minutes? Matt, are you in? He's in, as always. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for, Lord, the truth that you are God and God alone in this place, Lord. Thank you for, Lord, the healing that you have paid a price to bring. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts, our minds, our ears, our very beings to your truth, Lord, as we work through this morning. Lord, we confess just in the beginning, Lord, we do not understand it all. But Lord, we will press forward to truth. We will press forward, Lord, believing in your faithfulness, your goodness, and your absolute love for your people. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You all right? You good? Just okay? Never done this? Yeah, I said to the guys, this will either go really well or really bad. Some of you may be challenged never to come back here again. I don't think so, but just know the heart of which this comes from in all of these things. So, with that, let's see if we can get this thing going. Oh, who's that? You may want to dim that a little bit so we can get the full effect of this. I didn't see Tony today, and that's a shame, because this is Tony with a friend. Yeah, you like that? It's Tony Bachman. Those of you that he taught a class here, if you didn't recognize him, this is a few years ago, isn't it? Now, who's that? Oh, I should have blown that up bigger. Can you see that? Oh, it's Steve Matson. Look at that. I think he still wears those glasses. But I want to look at 2 Corinthians very quickly. If you want to turn to 2 Corinthians, if you have your Bibles handy, if not, you can go back and check this, that this is true. I do this because it illustrates a tension that as Christians we live with. You look at these pictures, we recognize who they are, but they don't look anything like this anymore. And it's called the aging process. Now, those of you that have attended here for some period of time, at this point is getting quite nervous at where these pictures may have come from and how many of them does he have today. And I have a few. This topic can be, I'll just admit it, it can be quite heavy. It'd be quite emotional for us as it brings back memories of our interaction with healing throughout our Christian walk. So this does have purpose in that it's going to illustrate a perfect point for us, but also it'll give us a little bit of a lightness about this all, okay? Because this is all about that we have a joy of the Lord, regardless of whether we understand everything or that we agree with everything. So I'm okay with you not agreeing with me on everything, okay? And just you be okay with me not agreeing with you, okay? Works both ways. But first, 2 Corinthians, let's look at chapter 4 and verse 16. Apostle Paul talks about the aging process here in 2 Corinthians, and he says, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Amen. See, only God is immortal. And as the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 9:27, man is destined to die. But on the other hand, our bodies are constantly replenishing themselves, bringing healing and wholeness through the whole process of the natural body. You know, in the next hour alone, I had to look this up. I don't walk around knowing these things. Some of you do. In the next hour alone, our body will shed some 600,000 skin cells. But you won't notice because it'll replenish 600,000 more. You know, Hadassah breaks her arm. Little Hadassah's got a cast. It's the coolest thing. She at night, she likes to wake up and on the crib at night, which Benjamin just has gotten really fond of that in the middle of the night. He loves that. He told him to leave the cast on another month so she can do that. But Hadassah's arm will heal. You cut your finger, it will heal. So God has decreed that our bodies are mortal. We read that through the scriptures. But he's very committed to promoting healing and wholeness and all of these things. So there's a tension that runs through our experience all the time, whether you've really like put your finger on it or maybe it's just your light bulb's going off right now. But as Christians, we shouldn't be confused by the paradox. There's two opposing forces, physical healing and the decline of our bodies is really at the heart of the gospel. Because Paul says, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. That's Romans 5:12. And Moses makes it clear that sickness was a part of the curse which came through sin. Deuteronomy 28:21, 22, 59, 61. Peter taught that Jesus was undoing the work of the fall in his earthly ministry when he came, quote, healing all who were under the power of the devil. Acts 10:38. So Scripture teaches that sickness is often, but not always, even associated with demonic activity. That's Matthew 9:32-33. So sickness is not just biological and medical phenomenon, it's also a spiritual one relating to the devil's work in the world. Okay? So healing is a part of God's work in the world, as shown through Jesus Christ, who becoming a human being with a mortal body, in order to destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3:8. Okay? So given a clear biblical teaching of these two principles at work, human mortality and divine healing, see, none of us denies those realities in their entirety. Nobody here would stand up and say, you know what, man doesn't die. They're not mortal. You know, couldn't deny it. So the question is not whether the Bible and experience teach these two principles of mortality and healing. They're at work in our bodies. The question, though, this morning is how much can we expect God to heal our mortal bodies right now? Okay? Isn't that the tension? Isn't that the question? How much can we expect Him to heal now? Right now. And since Jesus taught that healing was the primary sign of His kingdom, that His kingdom had come. Did you hear that? Jesus taught the primary sign that His kingdom had come was healing. Matthew 10, 7, 8, Mark 1, 15, 27, Luke 9, 2. It's on and on and on. But the bigger question is, how much has the kingdom of God already come? Okay. And in this much larger question lies what I would call a healthy vision of healing, of divine healing. I'm talking physical healing this morning. Okay. So this morning I want to go through four main Christian responses to that answer, or the four main ways that Christians will attempt to answer that question of how much the kingdom of God has already come in Jesus Christ. And see, and we're all over the map in this room for this right here. And that's okay. I'm going to present all of the ones. We're going to make comments here and there and some commentary as we go. But all of us, I don't think there's most Christians would agree that the kingdom of God has come through the first coming of Jesus Christ. We agree in that point. The kingdom came through Jesus Christ. And we agree that the kingdom of God has not yet fully come and will not yet fully come until His second coming. We can mostly agree on that in terms of there's a reality of His coming that will be very different than what we're living in now. Okay, we tracking here? But also, most of us would agree still further that we have a role to play in that now but not yet coming kingdom coming in to this reality. Okay, so there's 3 points there I think that we could come into agreement with for the most part. I'm going to categorize these into 4 major categories of healing in views, I would say. And by doing that, though, it is such a vast subject that I'm going to oversimplify. I'm going to have to, okay? So I will not cover every point to the minutest detail. I will probably leave things out, but I'm going to hit the larger points of them, okay? So I'll say that up front. It's going to feel a little incomplete as we go, okay? But we just can't spend the time. I'm going to have to oversimplify to make it more manageable, okay? Okay, so let's jump in. All right, our first view is what we would call the liberal view. And this view, like the other views, believe that from creation, from the beginning of world history, B.C., up to Jesus' earthly ministry, around 27 to 30 A.D., that largely the world was waiting for the kingdom of God. And that the era after the second coming, which is what I have highlighted in yellow, we will see the kingdom come in its fullest. Okay? Their position would best be summarized this way, and I have a quote here. It says, although God has the power to heal, and this is a sign of His coming kingdom, He does not heal people miraculously today, and probably never He's never done so because He respects the laws of nature and of the universe. They see the kingdom as not yet, and they have little expectation of miraculous healing. Now, liberal view would worship and really exalt nature and the natural laws of things minimize the historical facts, the historical miracles of Jesus. And some of you have run into these folks, you've talked to them. A completely unhealthy view, and we're going to move on. That's all I'm going to say about it. I think we can all come to agreement that, yeah. Oh, my goodness. What's this? Who is this? You recognize who that is? That Hazel? Is it? Who put that name up there? I put the name up there so that'd be a little helpful. But Hazel's coming to the picnic. Where's Hazel at now? Again, the tension of aging process. This is not, this isn't, it's just not sounding quite like it did in my head, Hazel. That didn't sound good. All right. Oh, my goodness, there's another one. Bill Brandt. Most of you have apologized ahead of time. I just said, hey, I'm sorry ahead of time. Yeah, Bill, he's playing a keyboard. And you guys remember Matt Messersmith. Where's Ian Hoffman? I got to embarrass Ian. Where's he at? Ian's here. You guys remember Ian? He's back. A lot of you may know. Most of you, hey, I'm going to introduce you to Ian. Great guy. He's at Eastern College. Just got back from Korea studying for 5 months. I said, what does South Korea have that York doesn't? He couldn't answer me. And he's into business and economics and whatnot, so he might need a job, right, in a few months. There you go. If you need a good guy, there he is. It's good to have you, Ian. That's awesome that you're visiting here today. All right, so Bill Brandt's there. Very good. He's changed a little bit, right? That's cool. All right, the next view. All right, the cessationist view, okay? The cessationist view, their basic view is best described as that God can heal. You guys are leaving now. I didn't mean to. Jeff, did I upset you? I'm picking on you. They had to head out. The cessationist view is best summarized. Those are Hazel's kids, by the way, that's why. This view is best summarized that God can heal today and may occasionally do so, but because we don't live in the apostolic era, God no longer grants people gifts of healing, and any other claim to possess modern-day gifts of healing are bogus. Okay? It's very, very strongly held position. Very people that love the Bible, they know their Bibles, they believe passionately in this view. From B.C. to Jesus' ministry, we're waiting for the kingdom. Then we have another line drawn here that the kingdom of God broke in but ended at the end of the apostolic age once the canon of Scripture was finalized. See, they believe that miracles and healing being namely one of them died off with the last apostle because miracles were a sign of apostleship and in inspiration in terms of the canon of Scripture. See, the cessationist view is this is such a strong position for them because they perceive the presence of gifts, namely prophecy and apostleship. I'm focused on those. Folks that hold the cessationist view, and I understand it, some very, very good Bible teachers, you'll hear them on the radio, hold a cessationist view. So it's not about how bad they are, but I'm going to say that this is why they believe that, listen, you claim to have the gift of healing, it's bogus. It died off. It's not here anymore because the Scriptures are already set. The canon is closed. We don't need God speaking anymore. He's speaking in His Bible. Okay, you see what I mean? If they leave the door open to healing, that means they have to leave the door open for prophecy and apostleship. Okay, that's primarily what I'm really oversimplifying it. But again, when the canon was closed, now we're back to waiting again for the kingdom of God to come, which in His second coming, which we have a lot of question marks there, when that happens, it's all over. Or just beginning, depending on where you are on that, okay? So I'm really, really oversimplifying their things. Just a couple words on this, in case you're like, hey, well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, first of all, there's no specific verse in Scripture that says that the gifts will end. As a matter of fact, if you read it straight through, it appears that they're going to continue on. Okay, so that's one. There are specific verses also in the Bible that imply that the gifts will last throughout history until Jesus comes. Paul tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1:7, he says, "You do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed." be revealed? Yeah. You're eagerly, eagerly. You don't lack any spiritual gift as you wait for him to be revealed, as he waiting for him to come back, okay? Then he tells them that the charismatic gifts will continue until perfection comes. That's 1 Corinthians 13, 9 and 11. Until we see him face to face. Okay? One of the most convincing things for me is Paul says, well, hey, when I preached the gospel in the Roman Empire, if it wasn't followed by signs and wonders, I didn't preach the whole gospel. That's what he says in Romans 15, 19, 18, 19. James MacDonald would hold this view. John MacArthur, both guys I highly respect and glean and learn from. They are very, very cessationists, shall we say. Okay? All right. You know what time it is. Hey, it's Ryan. All right, we're going to wait. We'll come back to him. Somebody wave when he comes back. All right, now, okay, here we go. All right, not to minimize the first two, I believe they're unhelpful. And we're, as a church, I can speak that we do not fall in the liberal view or anywhere close to cessationists. We believe in sola scriptura, that the basis of the Reformation in terms of the by scripture alone. However, we don't take it quite as far as they do. Now, the next view, as we're processing the views of healing and divine healing, we'll look at what we would call like a classic Pentecostal view. Again, very oversimplified. We're all waiting for the kingdom of God. Jesus comes. The fullness of the kingdom of God is now here, present in this earth. And it's enjoyed in our mortal bodies. Now, when he comes back, there'll be the fullness of the kingdom, and we'll enjoy it in our resurrected bodies. Okay? Because one of the arguments is, hey, look, if we have the fullness of the kingdom now, then why don't we have resurrected bodies? There's some realities that are going to happen on his second coming that we don't have now. And so that's talked about there. Okay? And I'll say this. And listen, these people, we all read the same Bible, and we have all of these views. It's just interesting. So it says Jesus' death on the cross. This is the traditional view. Jesus' death on the cross was to bring healing and not just forgiveness, and therefore healing has already been bought for everyone through the cross and simply needs to be received through faith. That healing is in the blood. Amen? Teaches that the kingdom of God is so present through the first coming that anyone can and should experience full healing in this life. He's not back yet. And not just waiting for the second coming, okay? This is one of the key tenets, one of the foundational tenets of the Assemblies of God Church. Those of you that have Assemblies backgrounds, this is the view of the Assemblies of God. So whether or not you embrace this view, some of you are very passionate about this view, that's great. Whether or not you do, you got to face the fact that every great minister of healing in the 20th and 21st century has held something very close to this view. The great healing evangelist John G. Lake taught in his book Adventures in God that the Christian, the child of God, the Christ man who has committed his body as well as his spirit and soul to God ought not to be a subject for healing. He ought to be a subject of continuous abiding health because he is filled with the life of God. Okay, John G. Lake. Oral Roberts is a very familiar name. He says, if Jesus took our sickness, we need not bear them any longer. Sickness is part of the curse, and Jesus came to destroy the curse. He suffered in our stead because he did not want us to suffer disease. Oral Roberts. Ken Hagin says, like salvation, healing is a gift already paid for at Calvary. All we need to do is accept it. He's not back yet. Somebody's ringing. The first argument, or I would say argument, Hey. My favorite is his shorts rolled up. But I did that too, just last year. So Hey, inwardly, he's being renewed day by day. And outwardly. Jody, that's the guy you fell in love with, isn't it? Yeah. So one of the foundational, there's three foundational beliefs in this view that stem from this, that healing must be in the atonement. Healing must be in the atonement, which means that it's definitely secured through Jesus' death and resurrection. Healing is in the atonement because sickness is part of the curse which came through Adam and must therefore have been undone through the finished work of Jesus, the last Adam. It's an extremely strong argument. It's a fantastic point. Because since both Moses and Paul tell us that sickness is part of the curse of Adam's fall, Deuteronomy 28, 21, 22, 59, 61, Romans 5, 12. It must surely be the case that Jesus dealt with it completely when he became a curse for us on the cross, Galatians 3, 13. And he declared on the cross, it's finished. Powerful, isn't it? Sickness is a curse. Hallelujah. Some folks struggle with this point. Not because it's not biblical or they can't read into it, but because many apply it to mean that it can be as certain that God will heal you through faith in the blood than you can be that he will save you through the faith in the blood. And also, they'll struggle that Scripture doesn't model this always. Like we read in Timothy, in 1 Timothy, that Paul says, you know, he's having a stomach issue. He says, he's not telling him to meditate on the finished work of Christ. He just drink some wine and whatnot. So they'll argue that. The second foundational in this approach is that healing must be in the atonement because Matthew tells us this. Matthew quotes Isaiah 53. Very compelling point. By his stripes. Matthew quotes the Old Testament. Matthew chapter 8. In the original Hebrew, as you go back and study Isaiah 53, you say, well, you know what, that let's spiritualize that. Let's make that he heals my soul. Let's make that he heals all of my emotional problems and those kind of things. The problem with that is when we go back to Isaiah 53, physical pain and sickness was the primary meaning of that scripture. So we're not at liberty to spiritualize it because the original Hebrew doesn't allow us to. It means pain, disease, and sickness. He bore our iniquity. That's what it means. Wayne Grudem, those of you that know Wayne, he wrote a big, thick book called Systematic Theology. He wrote some other books. Very helpful. He says, all Christians would probably agree that in the atonement, Christ has purchased for us not only complete freedom from sin, but also complete freedom from the physical weakness and infirmity in the work of redemption. When people say that the complete healing is in the atonement, the statement is true in an ultimate sense. But it really doesn't tell us anything about when we will receive the complete healing. That's where Wayne comes in on that statement. Most of the argument then against this point are those that are kind of they agree with a few points. The trouble they run into is the application of this point, which would be the third key of the Pentecostal view, is that every person has already been healed at the cross of Jesus and simply needs to receive this heavenly reality in faith in order to experience it in an earthly reality. Okay, that's where a lot of folks would struggle with it. It's putting together the promise of Isaiah 53:5 with Mark saying, whatever you ask, you shall receive, compels some people to tell them, listen, you're healed, you just need to deny your symptoms and get over it and believe and get more faith. And that's, again, a very oversimplification of it. And the problem for people is that it's very obvious. Anybody can see that they're not healed. Okay? I hear that from people. I mean, I'm already healed. Really? Yeah, we understand the depth of it here, but that can come in, and I have walked through this with people. It can discredit the gospel for unbelievers. People really struggle with that. John Wimber, who will sing a song at the end. You guys know the name John Wimber. He believed that healing was not in the atonement, but through the atonement. Not in it, but through it. And the difference for him was, because his concern was that if we teach that healing comes through the cross of Jesus, in a similar fashion to salvation, then given that healing does not always happen as consistently as we hope, this will inevitably decrease people's faith in the gospel for their salvation. I have also seen that. That's just where John Wimber is falling on the issue. Okay? It's the methodology of it that people will struggle with. There's no denying it, though, in Isaiah 53. And where's Irv? That looks like it was yesterday. I put 18 years ago because you won't believe it. Right, Mark? I think it was 18 years ago. 90 something. Huh? That's just astounding. The water is the water, the fountain of youth at his house or something. So we're okay, we're not mad at each other. Okay, I'm just laying it out. The fourth one is what we would call the charismatic view. The charismatic view, and you may call yourself charismatic and not hold the view, but I just found a heading for it. It tends to emphasize the fact that the kingdom is not now, but not yet. And sometimes the fullness of the kingdom spills out from the future into the present through the mystery of the compassionate and gracious character of God. Okay? So what you have again, waiting for the kingdom of God to come, Jesus comes, the kingdom is now, but not yet, and we have a lot of question marks that are pretty big, and maybe it will come to me today, I don't know. But you know what? When Jesus comes back, this is all done. It's all going to be over. Healing, and we're going to enjoy resurrected bodies and all of that, okay? See, the great strength of the charismatic view, which this is for, there are some issues with this as well that we'll cover. The great strength is that it manages that tension. And it manages to embrace the tension in the Bible between our the gifts of healing in operation today without ignoring the fact that our bodies are still wasting away. That death is still at work, and that's Romans 8:23, and that we're still destined to die at the end of a fixed lifetime or lifespan. Okay? Paul tells us that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. That's 1 Corinthians 15:50. So charismatics accept the Bible's teaching that some sickness does end in death, and that a good death at the right time is part of the victorious Christian life, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18, and not necessarily what we would call a, quote, failure. Anybody read David Watson? Do you know that name? This is fascinating. I'm preparing some of these things. I was in a Bible study this week with some pastors, and the name David Watson came up. Fascinating. I had never heard of him till this week. Healing ministry in the 20th century over in Britain. He was powerfully used in the gifts and believing that God heals now. He ended up dying of uncured cancer. And in the midst of his sickness, he wrote an autobiography, which the pastor said, let you read that. Just the way he worked through this. But the viewpoint, this viewpoint would refuse to treat healing or faith as magic and force the arm of God. You could get some of that verbiage. We're forcing the arm of God through this, and that some New Testament miracles happen to sick people who exhibit no faith to be healed. Lame beggar in Acts chapter 3. Silver and gold have I none. All they want is gold and silver and healed. They weren't asking for healing. However, there's a concern for this as well that we need to look at, and that's that this view can tend to construct a theology of sickness that's never clearly stated in the Bible. Jesus and the apostles talked in some detail about suffering. We're going to endure suffering and hardship. Anybody who desires to live a godly life, it just keeps coming up. Look at that. Anybody who desires to live a godly life is going to be persecuted and suffer. But none of them ever talked about suffering of sickness in this context. Never. Never is the struggle or the suffering in sickness. No one's ever told when they come for healing that, you know what, it's not God's will, it's not God's timing. So we got to wrestle with these things. Nobody ever came to Jesus and said, well, you know, it's not your timing yet. The apostles, they healed them. All of them. That's what we're told. They would never go home and continue to glorify God in a faithful way and bear their sicknesses. It's not what we read. But we'll hear ourselves say that sometimes, won't we? Well, you know what? God just wants to use you and glorify, and He will. But we don't read that ever happening in the Bible. On the contrary, I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Sick people are never told, we're never told that sick people glorify God. We're only told that when they're healed, they glorify God. See, and the fact that, and I'll have to wrestle with this, that what I would call our theology of sickness, we know it's overblown when we call sickness a blessing, when Jesus calls it Satan's prison, Luke 13:16. And we call death the ultimate healing when Paul calls it the ultimate enemy, in 1 Corinthians 15:26. So there's we wrestle with this. Oh, we're moving on. Where's Mike? Is that you, Mike? At church camp with the kids. That's awesome. Mike looks better now, though, right? All right. I did not call this the view of healing. It's a view. It's a healthy view of healing in all of this. And I'm not here to talk you out of anything. If you hold the Pentecostal view and the healings and the atonement, I say, praise God. Yeah, I read that. It's exactly what I read. A healthy view. The kingdom has already come and is ever increasing. See that? Again, we're waiting for the kingdom of God to come as we're praying for sick people. Jesus shows up and introduces a kingdom that has come and is ever increasing. Now, our question marks got a little smaller here. There are some question marks, aren't there? We don't know it. Now, when the second coming comes, the end of world history, we have the fullness of God, eternity in heaven. So what then of everything we talked about are the vital elements to add together to get a truly a healthy vision of healing and view of healing? I have them written here. I have three of them. First of all, that Jesus Christ, the Messianic King, who brought the kingdom of God, a kingdom characterized by miraculous healing, Matthew 11:5 and 12 and 28, He reveals the loving character of God. Jesus Christ is at the center of this. Secondly, that there is the cross of Jesus is where sickness was dealt a blow, a devastating blow. And that God's desire to heal was matched with His justice and His authority to do so. So we have Jesus Christ. We have the cross of Jesus Christ. And by the way, this also means that healing is not, it's not something that's alien to the here and now, where it occasionally breaks in. You know, one of the commentators, he likened it to an intruder coming into your house. Like showing up and seeing somebody sitting there. Well, you shouldn't be here. Like, well, how'd you break in? It's not like that. Satan's weapon of sickness is the real intruder on ground that was lost 2,000 years ago. See, that's why we pray for healing, right? Thirdly, there are healing promises of God, which are what I would call the revealed things, which belong to us and our children forever. See, a lot of times in our human experience, we try to focus on the unknowns, the things that we don't know. The promises of God in healing are the revealed things. We know them to be true. Why we don't see it all the time will be question marks we have here. But the promises are the revealed things. That's why we will labor, we will continue to pray and believe in it. But we're going to freely admit that despite God's revelation, that he's willing to heal, and he's given us the authority to do it in his name, that we don't generally see in a massive amount of success at it. There have been seasons of revival in America and across the world, and John G. Lake and Frank has shared with me tremendous stories of healing. But the reality is, in our view, I admit that. But we're believing that for an ever-increasing presence. As the day draws nigh and darkness gets darker, there will be a light that shines brighter and brighter. And I refuse to construct some grand doctrine to speculate about what hasn't been revealed. I'm just going to accept that there's times that even though in the cross he put everything under his feet, that I have some catching up to do. We have some catching up to do. Because in Hebrews 2:8, the writer says that at the present we don't see things subject to him. Not all the time. So putting all these things together, putting these three things together, Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ, and the healing promises, the revealed things. I'm willing to accept the small question marks that remain as we practice healing. But we will press forward in faith and experience healing in an increasing rate as we move from Pentecost, the birth of the church, to his second coming. Because in Ezekiel 47, you see the river increasing, his ankles, his knees, his thighs, his chest. There's an increase. Matthew chapter 13 tells of a mustard seed that began small, increased, grew, strengthened. We're going to experience these realities in a greater way and continue to preach the gospel. And expect signs and wonders. Because Paul did. Isn't that challenging? So I put that to you and charge you to do your homework. Let's not argue and fight over it. But as a church, we will not give up our belief wholeheartedly that he heals. Are you? Let's get real. Cindy Myers in the hospital. I struggled with even doing this. I thought, well, this is going to be ill-timed. But you know what? At any point, it could be ill-timed. I think as a church, we need to wrestle with these issues individually, corporately. Press in, not give up the truths, the revealed things that God has given us. And I looked at Joe Myers last night before I walked out of the hospital, and I said, Joe, we had a wonderful time just sharing before I left. I said, if she rises up and gets out of that bed physically, or her spirit rises up and is absent from her body and present with the Lord, it's a miracle. But around that are question marks, the unrevealed things. I encourage Job, focus on the revealed promises. He is faithful. Youth, you guys that love Cindy, that have watched her and her vitality, you've loved her laugh, her hugs, and her excitement. I look at her. Her eyes aren't open, but it's in there. Her spirit is whole. The Cindy that we love, who she is not broken, is not sick, lacks nothing. First Corinthians 15. Been meditating on that all week. If we in this life only have hope in Christ, we are to all people most to be pitied. Amen? Amen. But there's hope in this life. And we will pray and believe for healing until He comes and ushers in a kingdom more glorious than we can imagine. Amen? It stinks. We should hate cancer. We should hate death itself. But it's the last enemy that will be defeated, death. But it's in times like these, church, that we will grasp. Paul spent an entire chapter talking about the resurrection for a reason. The enemy came in very early in the church to discredit not only the Trinity, but the resurrection. And Paul said it's worth fighting for because that's what we hang our hat on. If Christ has not been raised, if there is not a resurrection from the dead, the preaching is in vain. Let's pack it up. Let's quit. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're not doing that. It's on the strength of this that we're going to pray. During prayer, Steve had come up to me and talked to me, just something he was sensing, and I want to end with this. So, Ben, you guys can come up if you like, if you're still here, if you're still around. It's okay to not know why. Let's stand. And Steve and I had talked about this morning is what I'd like to do. This is going to take some coordination from the men, and I know you can do it, guys. I'd like to form a circle with the men around this entire building. And we'll have the women, you guys can stay where you're at. But I'd like the guys just to kind of step out where you're at and just kind of form, like in here, to kind of be an egg-shaped thing. Can you do that? Just, we'll let the women in the middle and I'll explain what we're doing. Yeah, guys, just kind of face in then and grab, and you don't have to hold hands yet unless you want to. That freaks you out a little bit. Can the guys come up on the platform? Let's just make a circle. Like, you can put your hands on Mike. Just go behind Emily. You can put your hand on Mike, and then somebody over here can just, let's put everybody in the middle. Can we do that without causing too much trouble? Yeah, guys, you can come on up, and we'll, that way I'll be in the circle, sort of, kind of. Hallelujah. As the men of the house, we want to pray. We want to pray for healing of our ladies. Dude, how'd we do, guys? Not bad. Rick, you guys getting Matt in line there? All right. Hallelujah. God is faithful, isn't He? He's faithful. Through the good times and the bad. And I couldn't help but have tears this morning singing that. For some of you, this is a bad season. Just stinks. But you are God and God alone. Faithful. Faithful. All right. Can you grab hands for just a second, guys? Just, I don't know. All right. All right. Amen. I'm going to pray specifically for the ladies' assignments of sickness, anything against the women. We've got some pregnancies here that have been under attack. Praise God. I'm going to deliver Lily any day. Amen. Which there's a gathering for them directly after the service, by the way. Lily and Matt, right after the service, it's in their bulletin. From 2 to 4. Okay. Hallelujah. Guys, we want our women healthy, free from attack. Also, we'll pray for Cindy and others here. I know that many of us, Joe is, he needs strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just surround. We make a circle, Lord, an unbroken circle, Lord, around this congregation, Lord. Father, we rejoice in the revealed things, the revealed beautiful truth, Lord. That, Father, you bore sickness, you bore the iniquities, Lord. You broke the curse of sin and death, Lord. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we have come into agreement, Lord, all of us men, Lord, 100, 150. Lord, we come into agreement for health, for wholeness, for healing for the ladies of this place, young and old, the infants, all the way up, Lord. Father, we understand, Lord, we deal with the tension between, Lord, inwardly being renewed and, Lord, outwardly we're aging. But Lord, our days are in your hands. They're not in the hands of the enemy. Lord, the hands of our ladies are in your hands. Lord, their lives are in your hands. We commit them to you, Lord. And only you. Lord, only you can have them. Lord, Cindy Myers is yours. Lord, she always has been. And Lord, she always will be. So Father, we just, Lord, just bring a blanket of peace and healing into this room. Lord, as men, Lord, we just speak healing. We speak the revealed truth, Lord. Hallelujah. That, Lord, no weapon formed against these women will prosper. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness before and your faithfulness forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for these men, Lord, as their linked arms. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your, Lord, the power of your Spirit would just move, Lord, through the connection of hands, Lord. That you would bring strength, Lord. Father, Lord, that where there's addiction, you would bring freedom. Lord, where there's been, Lord, lack, you will bring and meet every need. Lord, we pray for wholeness and healing in every ring of this chain around this building, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We can even ask for healing. Hallelujah. May it be so. May your kingdom come and your will be done in this place, on this hill, in every house, in every township in this county. We agree. Hallelujah. Lord, we admit that, Lord, we see dimly on much of this. But we pray for an ever-increasing revelation, an ever-increasing truth, Lord, birthed in us, Lord, around these things, Lord. Lord, we believe for an increase of healing in every area, Lord, spiritually, physically, mentally. We believe it. Lord, that this would be a year, this would be a season, Lord, where the lost things are found. The stolen things are recovered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, that you're a restoring God. Amen. Hallelujah.